What is up, everybody? I am your host and your current and longest reigning WWE pay-per-view champion of all time, Ant, the hot commodity. I'm here, and I'm joined by the person I will defend my title against tonight, live at the Royal Rumble. Introduce yourself, sir.
Christian Morales, co-host of the Uncensored Pro Wrestling Podcast. We'll be challenging for the title tonight. I'm excited to take it from you. But I think we need to talk about SmackDown first before we do
Well,
that.
and Raw too, buddy. We're covering all of it tonight, man.
Oh
Today,
shit, that is right. We did Raw 30th. That's right.
I feel like we are. I don't know. It's like super early for us to do this. So I don't know where I am. But okay, so we are covering Monday Night Raw 30 from January 23rd, 2023. Excited about this episode because it's the 30th anniversary of Raw. However, and we'll talk about our thoughts towards the end. It wasn't as good as I wish it could have been. So we start tonight with Hulk Hogan. He comes out with Jimmy Hart, and Hulk says, "When Hulkamania was running wild, a small show started in 1993, and now tonight we are celebrating 30 years." His microphone goes on and off. He goes, "Then, now, forever. What you gonna do when Hulkamania and 30 years of Raw run wild on you?" What did you think of seeing Hulk Hogan open up Monday Night Raw? What did you think?
Well, I'm surprised I honestly saw Hulk Hogan in Monday Night Raw, to be honest. You know, I mentioned, or he mentioned, I think the best thing about it was, like, I'm a sports guy. He mentioned the Eagles, and not in a bad way, which, like, Paul Heyman did. But, you know, he's over with the crowd. It was cool. You know, Hulk Hogan is an OG when it comes to the WWE. You know, before there was The Rock, before there was Stone Cold, before there was Cena, there was Hogan. So, good to see a legend pop up to start the show.
Yeah, and you know, Hulk Hogan did have some matches on Raw throughout the years, so you know.
Right.
Okay, yeah, I agree. It was good to see Hulk, but it was fine.
This is my favorite part of the show coming up, though.
The trial of Sami Zayn. So everybody, all the Bloodline members are out in the ring, as is Sami Zayn. Paul Heyman says, go ahead.
No, I'm just throwing up the ones for the Bloodline.
There you go. Paul Heyman says, "My name is Paul Heyman. ECW is dead, and I got 4 pieces of evidence that Sami Zayn is guilty as charged. Here's our evidence." And we just see footage of Sami accidentally. And
I thought it was funny that the crowd was chanting ECW. And okay. I thought it was even funny that Heyman acknowledged it. He was like, "You guys are chanting 3 letters." I was like, no way he's actually like doing. Oh, I thought it was funny.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised that he even like said it was dead to begin with because he created it. But I guess
that's
like,
what I'm saying. Yeah.
Vince McMahon wants to kill his vision. But anyways, so we get evidence of Sami Zayn accidentally costing Roman Reigns and the Bloodline some of his matches. And Paul says, "We find this rat bastard guilty as charged." Sami says, "I have a whole defense lined up in the back of my head. Watching you craft this video, what do you think I'm doing?" He says, "How do you think that? That hurts me. After everything, the fact that you don't see it, these people see it. The fact that you will put me on trial to defend myself, that hurts. I have no defense." Okay. Sam Roman says, "You got so much ego that you can't argue for this. I let you in my family, and this is what you do." And then Roman yells, "Solo." And then Solo goes to nail him with the Samoan spike. Jey Uso stops him, which is really great storytelling because, you know, we all know how much Jey hated Sami Zayn.
Right.
So then Jey says, "I have put together my own footage." And this footage that Jey has is of Sami helping the Bloodline win their matches. Jey says, "Sami Zayn is bulletproof and is Sami Uso." Roman says, "I see Sami Zayn not guilty. Go home. I don't want to see you until Saturday at the Royal Rumble." He says, "You will deliver your final test, and we'll see if Sami is ready to be part of the Bloodline." So the final test comes tonight at the Royal Rumble. You love the segment. Go ahead and talk about it. I liked it. I thought it was really good.
Oh, this was super, super entertaining. It was super, super entertaining. It was kind of long, but this is one of those segments where I don't mind. You know, I was in my chair fully invested in this segment for so long, and I didn't think they were going to start the show off with it, but I'm really happy they did. This segment had me glued to my fucking chair, man. I had to pee so bad in the middle of it. I did not get up. It was awesome. The crowd was fucking enjoyed it. It was amazing. They did such a good job of showing him, Sammy's history with the bloodline. Paul Heyman out here trying to make Sammy look like the bad guy. It's good to see Jay come in Sammy's defense. Like you said before, Jay never liked Sammy. So now that he's defending him, it's good to see. And I'm sorry for saying this because this it we haven't talked about SmackDown yet, but this I kind of have to say this because it makes my point here. We see Roman say that he doesn't want to see Sammy on anything until the Royal Rumble. Well, he comes on SmackDown last night, but Jey Uso's sneaky with it. My point,
Yeah, we'll have to go ahead,
the
go.
reason I'm spoiling that, the reason I have to say this is because it leads us to a question at the Royal Rumble. Is Sammy going to turn on Jay after everything Jay just did for him? That's kind of what I'm getting at right now. So
Okay.
I'm just excited to see. That's just my little theory. I'm just excited to see what's going to happen at the Rumble. So many things can happen, but this was just a great, great overall segment. Again, with the fans fully invested. Sammy's a baby face now. And I thought it was even cooler, and we'll talk about it in a little bit here. But I thought it was even cool what happened in the match. We'll talk about. But we see Sammy and Jay even tag up for a little bit.
Yep. All right. So we have the Raw Tag Team titles on the line. The champions, the Usos, with Sami Zayn taking on the Judgment Day with Rhea Ripley and Finn Balor. And here are some notes on this one. Jay nails a running hip attack in the corner, and Jay nails an enziguri. The Usos nail a double flapjack. Damian Priest hits Jay with a super kick, and Priest dives onto the Usos outside. The Judgment Day with a double team slam. Usos nail a double super kick to Priest, and they get a two count. Balor drops Jay on top, but gets kicked out of the arena. Jimmy dives on and doesn't go outside. Jimmy is hurt by the dive and is about to be taken out. Adam Pearce comes out and says the Usos will have to forfeit the titles. But Sami says, "I'll do it. Let me compete." And Sami's allowed to compete. He dives onto Judgment Day outside. Sami nails an exploder into the corner. Priest hits Sami with the South of Heaven and gets a two. Jay hits Dominic with a super kick. Rhea gets in the ring. Dominic drop kicks Jay. He has a 619 and a frog splash, but Sammy makes a save. And the end comes after Sammy and Jay nail a 1-2 to Dominic. And Sammy gets a pinfall victory. The Usos retain the Raw Tag Team titles. But what we have to remember is if it wasn't for Sammy, could they have won? Afterwards, we see Roman Reigns backstage, and he says he doesn't want to see Sammy until Saturday. So, thankfully, Sammy helped the Usos retain the titles against Judgment Day. It was a good match. Not a lot of stuff happening there, but what are your thoughts?
I thought a lot of stuff actually happened in this match. It was so important to see, Sami Zayn this segment. I was hoping that Pierce was gonna let them, do the match, like have Sami compete in the match because he did do it for the Judgment Day last week. So it just would have been unfair if he didn't. But so I'm happy he did. But it was a great match. It worked well. I guess the Usos are baby faces now, even though they've kind of been for the past couple months, which it kind of seems like to me at least. But I thought the Judgment Day had a real shot of winning this match. I said this last week. I truly thought the Judgment Day was going to win. But again, it just makes sense for them to get the win because I think they're building up something big here for the Mania that has to do with unified tag team titles. Sometimes it's not always about having a good match, and I say this with a lot of people, but this is just an example. It's not always about having a good match. One thing about pro wrestling in general is, and I kind of say this, like I kind of have this problem with AEW. I feel like pro wrestling should be about storytelling, and this is just beautiful storytelling right here. So again, has us all curious of what's going to happen, and that's what I like. So awesome match, and just another good build up.
I agree. It was decent. I mean, for me, I don't know. But again, 100% great build up for the Royal Rumble and to see what's gonna happen. So then we see JBL and Baron Corbin backstage. They meet up with the Godfather, and Godfather tells Baron that he's not on the poker game list. JBL asks to speak to the owner, and of course, it's his former tag team APA partner, Ron Simmons. And
That was
Corbin
awesome, man.
gives, yep, he gives them money, and they end up finding him a spot. And we see the wrestlers playing poker. Great to see JBL and Ron Simmons interact, and the Godfather. Love all those guys. So yeah, it was good to see all of them. What do you think?
I mean, Ron Simmons isn't more, and Godfather aren't more my time. But I obviously enjoy seeing the greats that come before appear on TV. Shit, why is my camera off? As of JBL, I've seen him in person twice since he's been back with Corbin. I love him. He's personally one of my favorite heels ever. Back in 2005, my favorite feud of him ever was the whole Eddie Guerrero thing. He was just when he was the light of SmackDown at the time, I loved JBL. So it was just good for me personally. I was so happy. Anytime I see JBL appear on WWE, I get really happy. He's a legend, man. And I'm happy he's a Hall of Famer.
Damn.
They fucked him up, though. They gave him his Hall of Fame during the pandemic, which was bullshit.
Yeah. Well, here's some stuff that's not bullshit. LA Knight comes out to the ring, and LA says, "Let me talk to you.
Ooh.
Last Friday, Bray brought back the Firefly Funhouse, and I'm supposed to be scared of that." LA says, "This guy is living on past glory, just like the legends here tonight are living in past glory. If any legend has enough tingles, come out and I'll give you a preview of the Pitch Black match." That's when the American badass, The Undertaker, comes out on his motorcycle. And of course, Knight leaves the ring and he says, "Cut that. Before we take this further, you said on Seth Rogen that the wrestlers in the back were softies. Bray is the biggest softie in the back. LA Knight will send The Undertaker to The Undertaker. I'm gonna give you a pass and I'm gonna let you live for retirement and watch the Pitch Black match. And after the Pitch Black match, I'll be the Lord of Darkness." That's when the lights go out and Bray Wyatt shows up behind LA Knight, who backs off. LA rolls into the ring. The Undertaker grabs Knight by the throat and tosses him into the arms of Bray, who nails LA with his sister Abigail. And then Undertaker and Bray stare at each other, and Undertaker whispers something in Bray's ear and leaves. That was a really, really, really great moment. That for me was probably the moment of the night of just Undertaker talking to Bray, almost handing over the torch. Like, Bray is sort of the new Lord of Darkness now. So what'd you think?
This was a really cool moment. Bray's a babyface now. He had his WrestleMania match with Bray or Undertaker at 31. Wyatt is a dark character. Now that Undertaker's gone, like you said, he was passing the torch, maybe giving him some type of advice in his ear. When Knight, when he was like, "Any legends want to come out here?" I didn't expect The Undertaker, to be honest. Obviously, we heard the bell and the lights go off, and crowd reaction was fucking awesome. American Badass was fucking awesome. Sucks that they can't use Limp Bizkit in WWE. Fuck, I was so. Imagine he comes out to like a Rollin'
Why
Road.
can't he use that?
Limp Bizkit and WWE have beef.
Oh.
They have beef. They don't. I about cop. I like you know how like WWE license certain songs. Like I don't think Limp Bizkit wants WWE to license the song Rolling or something. Correct me. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's why. But yeah, this is an awesome moment. Sadly, I don't want to say this. This could be one of the last times we see Undertaker appear on WWE TV for a long time, unless there's like another like anniversary of something special, because we know he's done in ring competition. He's done. So unless there's like a special, like episode or something, I don't expect to see Undertaker again,
Keep
sadly.
on rolling, American badass.
Hell yeah. He's a legend. I fucking love that guy.
Love him too. We get some backstage segments, some more with the poker game, which I don't really care to talk about. We then get our next steel cage match. Bayley with the women's tag team champions Damage Control taking on Becky Lynch. Before the match can start, Damage Control attack Becky outside. Dakota Kai sends Becky into the steel cage door. Kai then nails Becky in the ribs with a steel chain. Damage Control then enter the cage and lock it, and they attack Becky. Io nails a lion saw. Adam Pearce comes out with bolt cutters. He has a hard time cutting the bolt. Control climb the top of the cage, sit on top, and laugh and brag about what they did at Becky Lynch. To be honest, I thought this was pretty corny. Like, they really didn't do much to Becky. Like, Becky's been, like, had her nose busted open and, like, has taken a lot worse than this. I feel like it kind of fell flat, honestly. And I love Becky Lynch. I love Bayley. It's not really their fault. But I felt like they really didn't do that much of a beatdown on Becky. You know, like, I get it. Three on one assault is bad, but Becky's been through a lot worse, in my opinion. But what do you think of Damage Control actually just annihilating Becky?
Well, has nothing to do with the match. It's not Becky's fault at all. I have a friend. For those of you who don't know, I live very close to Philly, where Raw 30 was shot, and I was actually supposed to go with a couple friends, and the friends texted me. And the story behind this is apparently, since the Bloodline segment was way too long, they had to cut this match. Like, they had to just do something with it and cut it for time, which was stupid because, like, this is just what my friends, I'm telling you what, like, my friends told me. He said it was stupid because there was other women's matches in this, and like other matches or women's matches, whatever, in general, that could have been either shortened or cut in general. But this was one match that, like, the fans wanted to see, and apparently the fans were, like, really pissed. Like, apparently the word got out.
I was mad, too. I was looking forward to that match.
Apparently the word got out in the arena that they had to cut the match because of the Bloodline segment went way too long, as unexpected. Yeah, so
they
that's
didn't need that many video packages in the book. Like, I'm not a video package person. I don't
right.
really care, you know?
If that is that, now that's the rumor that went around the arena. So I think that's what happened. To be honest, there's no way they're gonna cut this match like that because this is a highly anticipated match.
I know
we don't get women's steel cages matches at all. These are literally the two top women competitors right now in WWE.
But shame on them for not them making it worse off. Like, we should have been left and, like, with, like, Becky a bloody mess. Like, if you're not gonna fucking do it right, then at least, like, get beat down correctly. She got, like, what, a lion saw and attack on the rib, and oh no, she's done. Like, it was so stupid. But let's move on. But that's probably what happened. They probably
that
did
is,
cut it.
Yeah, I think that is what happened. Because you got to remember,
look at the
too,
inside information.
You got to remember too. Before the match was, like, you know how, like, before the match started, when they were doing the cage, they cut time because the cage was fucked up. Like, they couldn't, like, tie the cage. Like, the cage wouldn't structure right.
Oh God.
So I think they were doing that to, like, or either the cage was fucked up or they cut. There was a reason why they cut it. It was either because the cage was fucked up in one structure, or because the Bloodline segment took way too long. I think it's because the Bloodline segment took way too long. But it sucks that, you know, there's not much to talk about here because it would have been a good match.
Speaking about sucking it, D-Generation X come out to the ring. There you go. And Kurt Angle's in the ring as well. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And
this is my favorite segment of the night.
He does his whole skit with 6-time tag team champions of the world. Jesse James. And then he looks at Kurt Angle. And he's like, what are you doing? And Kurt's like, I've always wanted to be a part of DX. And he takes off the shirt. And he has a DX shirt on. And they do the whole thing. Triple H tells him to get in line. You know, it was funny. That was cool. Basically, Shawn Michaels tells Kurt Angle he's going to have to pass the test. Triple H goes to say suck it and do all that, but Imperium come out to the ring. Ludwig Kaiser says, shame on you for all the filth and nonsense you do. Gunther says, you're a bunch of degenerates making a mockery of the sport. We're here to kick you out of our ring unless any one of you is going to do something about it. So then Triple H gets in Gunther's face, but, you know, basically says, I'm not fighting you. Each member has a reason for why they can't fight. At one point, I was dying because
that was awesome. I was crying.
Triple H says, "Road Dog, stay over there, Butterbean," because Road Dog got chubby. And Triple H says, "He says, I wish there was someone here wanting to fight you guys for us." And then Seth Rollins and the Street Profits come out to save the day on behalf of DX. Before we talk about the match, what did you think of that segment? You really liked it? I did too.
You're missing the fucking, you're missing a huge part.
What? I like fast forward over one thing, to be honest.
Oh, man. Okay, Triple H.
Because I don't really care about, like, I honestly think, honestly, like, I hate to be mean, but, like, didn't they just do a whole DX segment where, like, the next time you're going to see us, we're never going to be here again? Like, it's like they keep doing the same shit. I don't care. Like,
no,
they,
Triple
they
H.
Don't doing...
Triple H said this booking stuff isn't easy, you know. There's not the decisions you can make. If only there was somebody here that could make this decision. And then Teddy Long came out with a huge pop.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about Teddy Long. Yeah. But even
Teddy
that,
Long,
it's corny. Like, it's like, I don't
what?
Care.
What?
I don't
Why
care.
You didn't care
Teddy
about
Long.
that?
I really
what?
did.
Oh,
But I just
my
don't
God.
care.
Yo, the crowd went fucking crazy.
Like, I think Teddy Long is way overrated. Like,
oh, wow.
Come out and say, play, we're going to have a tag match. And, like, he did a stupid dance. And it was just corny. Like, I never really cared about Teddy Long. So, for me, I was like, oh, here we go. He's going to come out. This is what I don't like about Raw. And when they do the Legends, they have them come out and do absolutely nothing to promote a match. Like, there was no point of them. Like what is, like, them coming out was, there was no point in them coming out. Only they could call it degenerates and to have them set up the match and do nostalgia. Like, if I want them to have a more prominent role, if you're going to do something, like, I get it. They can't wrestle. They can't whatever. But, like, I don't know. It's like, you're just wasting time. Like, I feel like even this could have been cut short. Like, I'd rather see Becky versus Bayley than see a bunch of 6-year-old men sit there and say stuff from, like,
I agree with that.
Ago,
I do.
That,
I can agree,
you know,
with that one.
Like,
no, I can agree.
At least, like, have Shawn Michaels get knocked out by Gunther. Like, do something riveting where,
and
like,
this
okay,
is,
like.
And that is another thing. I that last part, I can absolutely agree with you, because I feel like another reason they did this segment to begin this was to put Gunther over. But you know what would be cool to see? Gunther versus Seth Rollins, maybe, at some point?
That
would
would
be a
be
good
good.
feud. But, you know, like, I can agree with that last part. Me, personally, I thought it was very entertaining. I love
AEW does that really well. Not to cut you off, but they know how to utilize the legends. They make the
yes.
legends look really good, in my opinion.
Yes.
William
oh,
Regal,
absolutely.
The Rock and Roll Express, like, all that. I'm not saying that, like even stupid Sting, like, sucks, but, like, they look good. And so that's just something I wish WWE would do. Like, they make a joke. Like, Triple Go, I'm not going to fight you. I'm too old. It's like, then why are you out here? Like, what are you doing in a wrestling ring if you're too old and you're, like, it makes no sense. Like, I don't know, but sorry, go ahead.
No, I can agree with you on that. But the only thing I would just say about this, you know, it was just a good segment, just throwbacks, in my opinion. It was fun to watch. I love Teddy Long. You're going one-on-one with The Undertaker. You know, I love Teddy Long. I loved him back when he was general manager. My favorite, you got to think about it, my time of WWE, like, my favorite era is 2004, 2005, 6, 7. All those times where Teddy Long was GM of SmackDown. You know, I just loved him. So for me personally, I love Teddy Long. I was so happy to hear the pop for him. But you know, Kurt Angle, it was funny. You know, I can agree with you. We don't need to see DX every time out here. It's kind of boring seeing them come back out. Especially without Billy Gunn. You know, but it was entertaining again. I feel like we're gonna put over Gunther here, and I'd like to see a Seth Rollins versus Gunther match at some point.
Well, we do have the next match, and Imperium taking on Seth Rollins and the Street Profits with Kurt Angle as a special guest referee. And you know what? Since we're just throwing legends out for no reason, let's have JD King Raw join commentary for this match. I mean, again, like, I love Raw, but, like, they should have put him on during, like, a women's match or something. That's what he was known for. Like, anyways, so Seth Rollins gonna have a clothesline to Giovanni Vinci. Imperium then take control. Rollins and Gunther face off. The Street Profits now apply double ankle locks on Imperium, and they dive onto Imperium outside. Gunther chops Rollins and nails a shotgun drop kick into the corner and a powerbomb and gets a 2. Rollins nails a super kick and an angle slam to Gunther, which was crazy to see. And then the Street Profits land a super blockbuster. Rollins nails a pedigree on Gunther. It's a frog splash, and Rollins nails a stomp on Vinci, and Rollins and the Street Profits get the win. Good match, you know, a lot of action here. Seeing Rollins nail the angle slam to Gunther was probably the craziest spot of that match. But what did you think?
No, it was a good tag match. You know, I'm happy we got this match because, you know, we know that Gunther's on SmackDown. So I'm kind of surprised we even got this match, but it was a good match. Not surprised that the baby faces got the match or got the win here because, we have a baby face referee in Kurt Angle. But I thought Rollins and the Street Profits worked together. I knew, what I'm saying? I knew Gunther wouldn't take the loss here. Just good match overall.
Yeah,
not much going just to promote the Rumble and maybe possibly push Gunther. So we a couple backstage segments I'm not going to dive too much into. IMS takes money from JBL, good to see him. Bobby Lashley is interviewed, and I'm mad like they kind of gave this away at this point. Bobby Lashley says, I would be WWE United States champion if it wasn't for Brock Lesnar. MVP shows up, and Bobby Lashley tells MVP to stay away. Which in my eyes isn't too smart based on knowing what happens later in the night. Ric Flair comes out. Sorry. And he says, diamonds are forever, and so is wrong. I'd like to introduce the greatest SmackDown Women's Champion of all time, my daughter, Charlotte Flair. Charlotte comes out and says, on Raw, I evolved from a diva into a 14-time women's champion, facing women like Ronda Rousey, Asuka, the Bella Twins, and Rhea Ripley. And it's because of them, I am the best champion of all time. Raw will always be my home. That's when the current WWE Raw Women's Champion, Bianca Belair, comes out. And she says, no one wears a crown like you do, but no one here does because this is my show. Sonya Deville comes out. And she basically trashes Bianca and Charlotte and says, what about people who work hard and don't get the spotlight? I was a Raw general manager for a year. What is my recognition? Then Charlotte looks at Bianca and says, you know what, Bianca, why don't you handle this? So we then get the Raw Women's Champion, Bianca Belair, defeating Sonya Deville. I didn't really watch this match. She hit Sonya with a KOD. After Bianca says, what I did to Sonya is small in comparison to what I did to Alexa Bliss at the Royal Rumble. We get a video package of Bliss backstage. And she says, I don't need anyone to defeat you at the Royal Rumble, but I won't scratch your eyes out. That's one thing I won't do to you. I want to make sure I don't do that so you can watch me leave the Royal Rumble, the Raw Women's Champion. We don't have a lot of time, so Christian, I'm going to throw it to you. Quick thoughts. What are your thoughts on?
I have some really quick thoughts because I don't have anything. Sorry to cut you off. I just have nothing to say really because I don't see Deville as a threat at all. I don't like her. I've talked about this before. The crowd was dead for her. This was an easy win for Belair. Her offense barely throws reactions. Her promos barely draws reactions. I don't think she's a very good heel. Like I said before, Sonya, you just go to do some mixed martial arts. You're good. You're good at MMA. Like, just do something with that. I don't think pro wrestling's your thing. I'm sorry, but she just doesn't interest me at all. I'd rather see.
I'm embarrassed by her 6-year-old man. I do. Let's take our first break, and then when we come back, you're gonna finish your thoughts on Sonya Deville and Alexa Bliss Bianca. Stay tuned. Raw 30. We're still covering it. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Uncensored Pro Wrestling Podcast. I am your current and longest reigning WWE pay-per-view champion, the hot commodity, Ant C, and I'm joined by my co-host. Introduce yourself again, sir.
I'm still Christian Rouse, co-host of the Uncensored Pro Wrestling Podcast.
And he's eating a waffle. And my dog Daisy is making an entrance in the Royal Rumble match. She's getting excited for tonight. So make sure you subscribe, like, hit the notification bell on YouTube. We have the Uncensored Pro Wrestling Podcast. Listen to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music.
Before you even get into it, I just want to mention something about that.
That's it.
When I started with you guys, like ever since like I see like been here, you've been like gaining a lot on YouTube.
Oh.
Like I'm not like no like seriously.
Oh.
No, the promo battle
is starting. Here we go.
No. Listen. I didn't mean it like that. What I mean by it is, like, I think me and you, like, we're fun together, like, on screen.
We're
so
killing
people
it.
Like it. We kill it.
After the fucking Royal Rumble match,
No, I'm saving
maybe
my
for the
promos for the I'm saving my promos for the predictions.
after the Royal Rumble match. That's kind of like the Miz. After the Royal Rumble match, maybe we can be co-holders and maybe be a tag team, but we'll see. We'll see.
But I think when I win the my match, I think for a little bit I'm gonna have to be the champion, solo's champion for a little bit until the
Nah,
next pay-per-view. Yeah, get your chance.
we'll see. We'll see about that. You'll have to win the title first, and that's probably not gonna happen. So we're talking about champions. We just talked about Sonya Deville, who sucks. But this is the last time we see any sort of interaction between Bianca and Bliss before Rumble. What are your thoughts on that?
I kind of think, this is. I think this hasn't been booked terrible, to be honest. I think this match has been booked decent. I still want to know what's gonna happen with Uncle Howdy and her, though. I want to know if, maybe we'll see him appear during the match, and maybe Alexa does get the win. I don't know. We'll see. It should be interesting. I'm
I'm
excited for that
excited.
match.
Definitely. Have the Miz come out to the ring and he basically yells that he deserves his Raw 30 moment, and you can't have a Raw without Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens comes out and he has a stunner on the Miz, and that is the Miz's Raw 30 moment. What do you think of that? I mean, really not a lot to talk about, but it's a good thing to see Kevin Owens again, I guess.
They need to stop doing the Miz dirty. Miz deserves more.
He does. That should be his tagline, his new promo. Miz deserves more.
No, he does. He deserves so much more. He's such a legend. He's a legend in the wrestling. I don't give a fuck what anyone says. He's
He
such
definitely
a
is.
puts an incredible show every time. He's so over with the crowd every time. There's no one like the Miz, man. You gotta respect the Miz, whether you love him or hate him.
Well, let's cover our main event. It was good to see KO. Good to see the Miz, definitely, even though he is getting shit on. The United States Championship is on the line, and no disqualification match. The champion, Austin Theory, defending against Bobby Lashley. Here are some quick notes. Lashley tosses Theory into the railing and runs him into the post. Lashley nails a neck breaker, but Theory hits his blockbuster and gets a two count. Theory grabs a chair and hits Lashley in the back and sets it up in the corner. Lashley hits a hurt lock and a flatliner and sends Theory face first into the chair set up in the corner. Theory uses a fire extinguisher and he sends Lashley into the steps. Lashley hits a superplex. Theory nails a low blow. But Lashley puts Theory through a table, and then out of nowhere, Brock Lesnar comes out and he hits Lashley with an F5, and then he hits an F5 on Austin Theory. But Theory lands on top of Bobby Lashley, and Theory retains the United States Championship with the help of Brock Lesnar. What are your thoughts on Brock Lesnar returning and laying out Bobby Lashley? Man, this is, I wasn't expecting this. What are your thoughts?
I was expecting it. I mean, we've seen Brock Lesnar screw Bobby Lashley for like the past couple weeks. So I it's this is a match here we're gonna get to for Mania, and I'm fucking excited because this is a match that I they could have such a good fucking match, and it's crazy. So I'm excited, but I think we'll get them going at it a little bit at the Rumble, and then I think they're gonna fight at WrestleMania. But the match itself, it was a solid match. I mean, there were some weapons used by both of them. Theory ends up winning with a cheap fashion, like always.
Yep.
So it kind of just fits his character. But it was a good match. If you paid attention, you would know Brock Lesnar was coming out. I
Oh
knew it.
yeah. Like
I kind of. I
with
mean,
that
but.
interview he said earlier on the night when he said Brock Lesnar screwed me, I knew Lesnar was gonna pop up.
So it was good though. It was a good re it was it, it, I knew he was coming when his music hit. I was still like, no way. Like I was still like, oh shit. But that those Gunther versus Brock Lesnar rumors can stop right now.
We'll see. Listen. So tell me quick, what was your moment of the night for Raw 30?
My moment of the night, Raw 30, me personally. Man, it might be a dumb one, but I'm gonna say Teddy Long coming out, man. I have a thing for Teddy. I love him, playa. I love
Okay.
him.
Play it, play it. That's okay.
It
This
was good. It was good to see him come out, and I'm the reason I'm saying that is because as I'm I love him so much, I'm just happy he got the pop he got. It
Yeah.
just it made that pop he got a smile on my face. So shout out Teddy Long, man. He's
Remember,
awesome.
For me, yeah, Taylor. I mean, it's always great to see the legends. For me, obviously, Undertaker and Bray Wyatt.
That was really good. That was a second.
That was insane. I wasn't expecting that. It was a great little moment that they were able to talk to each other. But Christian, man, we're on the road to Royal Rumble. We got SmackDown to cover, our Royal Rumble predictions. We're kind of a little bit short due to time, but this is a great episode of Raw. We celebrated 30 years of Raw. Christian, you know what? Maybe we'll be together and covering Raw 60. That would be awesome.
That would be
Maybe
yes,
by
sir.
then, I don't know what will happen with technology, but I will still be your WWE pay-per-view champion because I am the bomb and I am that damn good and I am the hot commodity, better than you. That's it. And fuck MJF, he took my whole thing. Christian, thank you for joining me, sir. This is a
Thank you
great
for having me,
episode. I'm
brother.
excited for
I'll see you
SmackDown.
later when we do the predictions.
We're gonna be killing it. Thank you guys for tuning in. Stay safe and stay uncensored. Bye.